always with you, what cannot be done. Hear you nothing that I say?
Master, moving stones around is one thing. This is totally different.
No different. Only different in your mind. You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right, I'll give it a try.
No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try.
Star Wars fans and Moof Milkers everywhere, welcome to episode number 398. Blast Points is Jason.
And this is Gabe.
We're talking about the Clone Wars, the Yoda arc. Clone Wars episodes 11, 12, and 13 of season 6. We're talking about Voices, Destiny, and Sacrifice. Three amazing episodes, probably some of my favorite Clone Wars episodes ever, period.
Not probably. They're definitely some of your favorites. They're some of my favorites, too. They're really good.
So, okay, this is the whole... I've told this story many, many times, but they're extra special for me because probably everybody knows, but in case you don't, my deal was I saw the Clone Wars movie in the movie theater, and I got bummed out afterwards because I wasn't sure if I was like, was that good? I don't know. And you had seen it already and you told me it was good. And then I went to go see it the midnight show and I was just like, I don't know if I liked that.
I don't think I told you it was good. I told you it was different. Because the movie was weird.
Well, maybe I was scared. I was scared going into it. You said it was different. I just know I got home and I just had a crisis at home where I was like, I don't know who I am anymore. I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, I don't know who you are. Because the Clone Wars movie was weird. I didn't get into it. I was like, I don't understand what that was trying to do. And then I didn't watch the show. You did the whole time. You told me about it. And then when it came on Netflix in March 2014, I watched these episodes first. So all I had seen, keep in mind, is the Clone Wars movie. Oh, I tried watching the Mortis episodes when they were first aired because I heard Qui-Gon was going to be in them and I didn't know what the heck was going on. And then I watched these. And I was texting you, I think, like crazy, where I was just like, those are incredible. Those are amazing. It's every time I watch these episodes, the Yoda arc, I'm reminded of that moment where I was like, oh my God, this show is insane. This show is incredible. Like, and then I went back and I rewatched the whole series starting from season one, which was like a great, like, reverse way to do it, was start with these episodes though. So these episodes are kind of special to me because it made me love the Clone Wars show. But how is it for you with these episodes? Because like I said, you watched the whole series while it was new, and then these kind of came on Netflix. It was a shorter season than the other ones. But this was, at the time, we thought this was the end of the Clone Wars show.
Yeah, I just remember being excited that we at least got these episodes, because I feel like, didn't we hear that it was going to be canceled before we knew if we were even going to get these episodes? Because I think it was canceled after season 5, and then it was like, oh, finally, okay, at least we're going to get some of season 6. Yeah, I was excited to get more Clone Wars, and if they were going to end it, this kind of wasn't a bad way to end it, because these 3 episodes were really good. The story is really good. The visuals are really good. I was just like, I think I was excited too, because, you know, I've talked about it a million times. Like, I really wish Revenge of the Sith had the Qui-Gon part still in it. And this was the Qui-Gon part from Revenge of the Sith back, but now spread over 3 episodes instead of just being like 30 seconds at the end of the movie. So it kind of made it okay a little bit. So yeah, I was super pumped up after these.
I feel like also with these, this is the right time to talk about these episodes, because it's like Phantom Menace is about to come back out into theaters. We're just weeks, month away from The Acolyte and everything going on in Phantom Menace, Qui-Gon, Darth Sidious, Rise to Power, all that stuff, the Fall of the Jedi. And then whatever's going on in Acolyte, like with the secret moves of the Sith, I feel like these episodes, the Yoda arc, are kind of dealing with all that stuff. And it just makes these 3 episodes even more interesting.
Yeah, especially because it's one of those things where it's like the Clone Wars kind of took advantage of having the time to tell these stories to kind of make it clear to people who maybe missed the things that the Phantom Menace and the rest of the prequels were trying to tell you about the Jedi, and actually remind you like, hey, they kind of didn't know what they were doing and they were kind of doing stuff bad. And Yoda was kind of a jerk up until this part. And that's why he's, you know, in Empire Strikes Back, he seems a little different because something changed him and made him different. And he realized that things the way they before weren't that great. And these 3 episodes kind of show you that.
Yeah, because it was amazing, like we said in our Acolyte trailer episode, like when the Acolyte trailer came out and you see the red lightsaber, and then people were talking about Mundi saying, you know, the Sith have been extinct for millennia, and it's like, yeah, that's, they don't know what they're talking about. Like, and then it's amazing because in the Yoda arc, like we're going to talk about, Mundi is maybe the most clueless person in this entire arc. I love Mundi with my heart and soul, and it hurts me watching these episodes because it's like, Mundi, you are so misinformed.
And you're a jerk about it, kind of. You're like dumb and rude.
But it's the Yoda arc. Yoda is the main character of these episodes, and it's neat. I looked up the definition of a story arc, and it says the purpose of a story arc is to move a character or situation from one state to another. In other words, to effect change. This change or transformation often takes the form of either a tragic fall from grace or a reversal of that pattern. And because, like I said, Yoda is the main character of these stories, we see Yoda's change from one state to another. Was there's the Yoda of, say, the Phantom Menace or Attack of the Clones, to by the end of this episode, the Yoda of Revenge of the Sith and like Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, which is great watching the Yoda arc and thinking this is before Sith, and then going back and watching Yoda in Sith again. Cause that's a thing too. Like, I remember watching Revenge of the Sith and being like, man, what is going on with Yoda? And I just always thought that the dark side is getting so strong that Yoda's starting to figure it out in Sith because he's acting really weird and rubbing his head and stuff. But then if you go back and watch Attack of the Clones, like especially in Palpatine's office in the beginning, Yoda's the one giving the side eye to Palpatine. It's almost like Yoda is so strong that he's the only one who maybe feels it a little bit with Palpatine. But by the time of Sith, Yoda's super sad because he knows he's already experienced the Yoda arc.
Well, and also don't forget, you know, in Attack of the Clones, that's when he first starts to hear Qui-Gon too. So like it's starting there in Attack of the Clones and doesn't really come to fruition until this, where he finally understands and can hear what's going on, that it's all about Qui-Gon.
And that's the thing, yeah. Watching these episodes and being reminded it's all about Qui-Gon, and then thinking about the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, it's going to be so good going into The Phantom Menace very, very soon, back in theaters. But a little bit more background before we start talking about these episodes, that I think a lot of people forget that when these came out on Netflix, they were called The Lost Missions. And this, they came out on Netflix March 7th, 2014, almost exactly 10 years ago, which that's insane.
It just seems like a couple months ago. Because, you know, this came out, yeah, and this was the end. Like, there was no even twinkle in anyone's eye that, like, hey, maybe we'll get a season 7 and they'll really finish the show.
We were like a year away from The Force Awakens. I think we were like about to get tickets or got tickets for Celebration Anaheim 2015. We were getting the fever really bad right about now.
Well, and this was fueling the fever because it was more Clone Wars keeping us alive as we waited for what was this new Disney Star Wars thing going to be.
And I was like, man, Qui-Gon is like having Yoda follow little balls of light on Dagobah. And Qui-Gon is talking about how midichlorians communicate with the cosmic force and stuff. And I was just like, oh, man, I'm ready. If they announced that Celebration 2015 was on the moon, I'd be like, guess I'm going on the space shuttle.
I wish it was on the moon.
Gabe, I got tickets for Celebration on the moon.
Let's do it.
It's weird thinking, too, that like how when these came on Netflix in March 2014, the premiere of Rebels was just 7 months away. And that is so wild to think about, too, with like Sabine and Hera and Ezra Bridger and stuff. That March 2014, we really were at one era of Star Wars ending. And another one about to begin with, like, Rebels coming, The Force Awakens coming, and Clone Wars, the Lost Missions arriving on Netflix.
Yeah, but also little did we know that it made sense for Clone Wars to come back because of how much Clone Wars really kind of directly went into Rebels. Because at the time it was like, they're never going to talk about Clone Wars people again. Like, this is crazy. And then, you know, it didn't take us long to realize that, oh, no, this is all the same stuff. This stuff never goes away.
And these episodes, the Yoda arc episodes, are extra special too, because they really kind of are the last bit of Star Wars directly overseen by George Lucas that came out.
Well, until season 7 came out with the Bad Batch episodes. But, you know, that was years after this. So at that time, yeah, this was kind of it. But these are more special maybe than the Bad Batch too, though, because it's like as cool as the Bad Batch is, and as much as after 3 seasons of their own show, we love all those characters, it's not George Lucas telling stories about Yoda and stories about the Force and Yoda and Qui-Gon talking to each other about the Force. So this is kind of a big deal.
And I can't help thinking too about how the crazy talk of the Lucas's ideas for the sequel trilogy and the microbiotic world and stuff. I know we've talked about this a lot in the past too, but like how maybe it was kind of like this. Maybe it was something that we got in these episodes. Maybe when these episodes were being thought of, because like from conception to the finished product takes a long time. I don't know. Maybe some of this was Lucas kind of thinking about where he wanted the next movies to go.
Yeah, because when they were writing these, that would have been not too long before the Disney sale, right? It was in the time frame, so he would have already been thinking about what the next movies would be. He had the drafts or the outlines and things. So yeah, it would make sense that thinking about this and thinking about what sequels would be were. There's got to be some overlap there.
Yeah, just big, big ideas and crazy cosmic force weirdness that exist in these episodes. Who knows? But also, I can't help thinking, too, that some of the things in these episodes could connect to things in Acolyte or the upcoming James Mangold movie, or who knows what else in the future. I mean, who would have ever thought Ahsoka, the show, would end with Baylan standing on a statue of the father from the Mortis episodes, maybe pointing to some kind of Mortis thing where it's like we said in our Ahsoka episodes, is like live action Mortis stuff coming? Probably. Is that where Baylan goes? Maybe. I don't know. Like you said, like with Rebels, Clone Wars never really ended. Clone Wars, the show, is never going to end. And I don't think the Yoda arc is the last we'll hear about some of the stuff in these episodes.
And if George Lucas was sitting around thinking about crazy microorganism force stuff, the person he was probably sitting around talking about it with is the person who is making the Ahsoka show.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any weird George Lucas force microscopic organism theory that Dave Filoni doesn't know about and probably isn't, you know, incorporating into his stuff in ways that make sense. Like, I don't think that stuff is really gone as long as they still have Filoni making shows.
Well, and he just got that promotion. What is his new job? Like,
person in charge of keeping microscopic force weirdness in Star Wars.
I did is I got Joe Johnston to work on Yoda to try to figure out, you know, what he would look like so it'd be easier to write him. That really comes from a tradition in mythological storytelling, fairy tales, of the hero finding a little creature on the side of the road that seems very insignificant and not very important, who comes out to be the master wizard, the master thing, or the guide, the main guide in the movie for the hero. And so I wanted him to be a little insignificant character. Something that, like a frog or something that you just didn't pay any attention to. And he turns out to be the most powerful Jedi in the universe.
All right, let's talk about the episodes. Let's talk about some of the big ideas and the crazy cosmic force weirdness and Yoda's journey in these episodes.
Well, and we can't talk about these episodes without going back to the previous couple episodes where the lost missions was bringing the gold with basically telling us all about Sifo Dyas and Dooku and how Dooku murdered Sifo Dyas, and we got to see Sifo Dyas and we thought we were going to finally understand everything about Sifo Dyas, and that wasn't the case, which we did a whole episode about back, man, what, 2 years ago? Episode 304. And yeah, do you understand it yet, Jason?
No, because I got all excited in like the Tom Kane, like, the Jedi figure out the deal with Sifo Dyas, and they showed like those clips, and I was just like, man, I completely forgot everything that we claim to have figured out. I kind of got it, but no, yeah, like I said, I want to go back and listen to episode 304 and have us from 2 years ago explain the Sifo Dyas thing to me again.
I just remember being excited that Chancellor Valorum was back, and it was a secret mission from Chancellor Valorum that sent Sifo Dyas off doing something.
So, but the whole point is that the Jedi are confused after the Sifo Dyas thing, just like everyone everywhere. Sidious, Sifo Dyas, who ordered the clone army? What's going on? And Yoda, of course, knows that something is up. So the whole thing starts where Yoda is like kind of chilling. He's trying to like meditate, right? And he hears Qui-Gon, and Qui-Gon is telling him that Qui-Gon is part of the living force, and it's just like, man, here we go.
Yoda,
hear you, I do. Who are you? My imagination, it must be.
No, It is I, Qui-Gon Jinn.
That cannot be. Dead you are.
No. I am part of the living force, Yoda.
And Qui-Gon's voice coming back is so powerful in the Force that it makes everything float. And it's tripped me up then and it trips me up now. Qui-Gon telling Yoda, you have to finish what I started. Where if you haven't watched the rest of these episodes and all you've seen of Qui-Gon is like the Phantom Menace, but you saw him in Mortis, but it's like, did Mortis happen? Did it not happen? What was the deal with that? It's like, wait, what did Qui-Gon start that he couldn't finish and now Yoda has to finish? It's mind warping.
Yeah. Getting into the, oh, you thought you're into the Force. You like the Force. Well, there's two forces. Don't forget, it's not just one. There's two.
Like I said, it hit my sweet spot because we've been Qui-Gon people like from day one. We've always been like Qui-Gon is the most important Jedi. Qui-Gon is the biggest deal in the whole thing. And then, oh my God. But that was the whole thing that we knew of the deleted scene from the end of Sith that didn't make it in the movie.
When I became one with the Force, I made a great discovery. With my training, you will learn to merge with the Force at will. Your physical self will fade away. But you will still retain your consciousness. You will become more powerful than any Jedi could imagine.
Excuse me, Master Yoda. Obi-Wan Kenobi has made contact.
It was in the book, and it's like, oh my God, Qui-Gon is going to be teaching Yoda. That's so great. We're going to hear Qui-Gon, like, are we going to see a vision of Liam Neeson and stuff? I mean, Yoda does say at the end of Revenge of the Sith, you know, and Obi-Wan's like, my Qui-Gon.
Yeah, but we thought we were going to hear that voice. And when we didn't hear it, it was like, wait, what? No.
We're bad Star Wars fans. We were like, I was expecting Qui-Gon. It was in the book. It's okay. It's all right. We've gotten over it, people.
But this, if anything, these episodes prove we were right, though, that it's like the prequels work so much better when it bookends with Qui-Gon and you realize Qui-Gon wasn't just a character from the beginning who dies, that he's actually like the point and he needs to be there at the end to let you know that this is all a thing. And you kind of get an impression of that in Revenge of the Sith, but this really drives it home that it's like Qui-Gon was important and Qui-Gon was a real Jedi, that he's what a Jedi should be. And that was the point of Qui-Gon in Phantom Menace, to give you a glimpse into a real Jedi.
Qui-Gon is the true Jedi. The Jedi sitting on the council are an example of what not to do. And Qui-Gon is the example of what to do. Yes. 100%. That's why I loved Phantom Menace so much in the movie theater. That's why I couldn't stop going to see it in the summer of 99, because I think I read on like the message boards of Force.net somebody talking about this. I really think it was where someone was just like, the Jedi Council is bad and Qui-Gon is good. Something like that. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Phantom Menace is great. Go see it. May 3rd. Theater near you. So the council meets, right? And Mace Windu is like, well, maybe it's something, maybe it's not. And Moondi, we love you. But Moondi is like, maybe the Sith are using Yoda. And that's why he's acting strange.
Which I had forgotten how good these episodes are of actually kind of delivering on Moondi being a jerk when we get to the third one, where it's like not exactly what Moondi thought, but Moondi wasn't completely wrong. And it kind of becomes them attempting that, but he still doesn't know what he's talking about.
No, he has no clue. When Moondi doubts Yoda, and that's the thing too, I think the Jedi, by the time of this, where it's like we're deep into the Clone Wars, the Jedi are so kind of distrustful even of each other. At this moment, they're just like, well, maybe this is coming from one of us. And like all the Jedi Council, like, look at each other and stuff. And it's like, no, guys, it's Palpatine. So I love how Yoda goes and talks to Anakin about Qui-Gon on Mortis. And he's like, Yoda is like, he doesn't believe that any of this is possible. Yoda thinks he's going crazy. And then you have the great scene where the Jedi Council meditates together for like an entire night.
Well, yeah. And that's the other thing I kind of had forgotten going back and watching these is, because especially how good season 7 looked, that these episodes like looked really good too. And they did the cool like time lapse kind of effect where it you know, you see it going from day to night and you see all the streaks of the lights of the ships flying. And it's just visually they're doing some really nice stuff in these episodes. And when now the Jedi, there's like the camera flying around the room as the Jedi get out of their chairs to come up and put their hands on Yoda. And the camera just zooms right in on Bearded Snake Man, Oporansis's tail as it slithers out of his chair. There's like so much of his tail in these episodes. If you're a Bearded Snake Man fan, this is what you live for.
There's a part, yeah, where Obi-Wan is like walking through the halls of the Jedi Temple, and it's like Mace Windu and Aayla Secura or something. It's somebody, and Bearded Snake Man is with them, and they're like talking, but the whole time all I can do is like look at Bearded Snake Man.
Yeah, his tail's like 20 feet long.
But I love Dave Filoni. There was an article on StarWars.com when these came out. I'll put the link in the show notes. But Filoni talks about how these, like we said, these stories are the start of what brings Yoda from the prequels and the Clone Wars into the Zen Yoda of Empire and Jedi. And he's talking about how a lot of the things that Yoda says in The Empire Strikes Back are almost kind of lessons he learns in these episodes. So it's true where Yoda is doubting everything. He's just like, I'm hearing Qui-Gon, but that's not possible. And even like later too, Mundi is just like, when a Jedi dies, they don't retain their individuality. Like Jedis can't talk after death. Like once they become part of the cosmic force, they're just like part of the cosmic force. Mundi, Mace Windu, kind of a lot of the leaders of the Jedi Council are like, we understand. We know the cosmic force. There's nothing else for us to learn. We are Jedi masters. And that's part of the problem too. That's why they don't see the Sith returning. You think of Yoda in The Empire Strikes Back. So certain are you, you know, always with you, what can't be done. You must unlearn what you've learned. Yoda is very much about possibilities. And there isn't just one way. I mean, I think of even when Luke flies off and Obi-Wan's like, that boy is our last hope. And Yoda, no, there is another.
Yeah, he's much more chill in after these episodes when he has to do all the lessons that he has Luke do, basically, of just let go.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is we're going to get into what the Force priestesses, the wills, whatever, what Yoda has to do is what Luke later has to do. But that's coming up. So Yoda has to go in this water meditation thing, right? The low oxygen water meditation.
Yeah, it's a little bit like a Bacta tank. It's a little bit like, what was that movie, Altered States? Was that the one where he had to go in the tanks and things got weird?
That's a freaky, freaky, freaky movie.
So, or you know, in Stranger Things, Eleven ends up in the tank. It's like, you got to get in the water tank so you can just focus on the inside so you're not distracted by the outside.
And man, he goes in and he hears Qui-Gon again.
Yoda. No, this is not the way. Come to Dagobah. The answers you seek are here.
But why?
You must complete what I could not.
His vital signs are dropping too low.
But the test!
I want him out of there now. Master Yoda,
Master Yoda, wake up!
Speak of this to no one. Trust no one. Come to Dagobah alone.
Welcome back, old friend. Thought we lost you there.
Speaking to the dead, I was. Friends, long gone. Good friends.
It's like poetry. It rhymes. Kenobi, Obi-Wan Kenobi in The Empire Strikes Back, like, you must go to the Dagobah system. There you will learn from Yoda. But now it's Qui-Gon, you know, being like, Yoda, come to Dagobah.
But also, you know, I didn't even think about till just now, too, that this is almost another little hint to how maybe Vader figures this out and how Anakin's able to do this at the end of Return of the Jedi, that we see Yoda doing this in this episode. And then, you know, we realize now later with the Rogue One and the Kenobi show, like, oh, Vader spends a lot of time meditating in his little isolation water tank. And it's like, maybe Qui-Gon's trying to talk to him when he's in his tank and he's kind of isolated from the rest of the world.
Yeah, would Qui-Gon try and talk to him, though? But Qui-Gon has seen the big picture. Even the Qui-Gon in these episodes, he's like, there's many ways this can play out. But the key is that Yoda has to survive because Luke is the new hope.
Right, but if there's still good in Vader and he has like a little voice in his head reminding him that he doesn't have to be this way, is that little voice in his head Qui-Gon like trying to remind him that he doesn't have to do this, that there's another way, and he doesn't have to listen to it, but he could still be hearing it.
Well, yeah. And you think of, you know, like you said, the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, the Obi-Wan show is like the Obi-Wan arc. Basically it's the moving of Obi-Wan from one state to another. It's the sad, I screwed everything up, I'm the reason all this happened, Obi-Wan, to I'm going to go with Qui-Gon and learn about the weird cosmic force stuff.
Yeah, it's the Qui-Gon, it's the Obi-Wan version of this.
And Obi-Wan kind of goes through the trials. Obi-Wan goes through all the steps, all the facing his fear, the darkness, facing the darkness within himself, conquering that darkness.
The next bit is great because Yoda has to team up with Anakin because Mace and the other Jedi are worried about Yoda. They make him go lay in bed and rest, and they bring in the temple guards, which is cool to see the temple guards again. And Yoda needs to escape. And who else can he ask to help him defy the Jedi Council and break some rules? He's like, I know just the person. And he asks Anakin to help him.
Which is so charming too, because it's like Yoda recognizing what makes Anakin Skywalker, Anakin Skywalker, and appreciate like what Mace and probably other people in the council see as annoying parts of Anakin's personality or frustrating parts or reasons why he can never be a Jedi master or something. Yoda's like, no, that's what makes him special.
And those are the things that are very Qui-Gon of him.
And you get to see Yoda riding on a flying R2-D2.
So good. So good. I never get tired of seeing R2-D2 fly.
It's like when you see Yoda riding on R2-D2 flying, it's kind of like, yeah, this is a lot of George Lucas.
And he rides on R2-D2 as he flies to Yoda's little teeny tiny Jedi starfighter.
So what, they go to Dagobah, and this was a big thing when these episodes came out, R2-D2 had already been to Dagobah when he goes with Luke. Because I remember some people were just like, it's a plot hole, the R2-D2 is not supposed to go. And it's like, no, R2-D2 knows what's up. It's so neat watching The Empire Strikes Back, right? And thinking, R2-D2 knows full well who Yoda is, and Yoda knows full well who R2-D2 is. But the two of them know how important it is that Luke Skywalker has made it to Dagobah.
Yeah, because it even makes, like, you know, them fighting over the food or the flashlight and stuff even almost funnier because it's like they're giving each other an extra hard time because they know each other. Like,
right.
I know you, crazy old man. Give me that. And even R2, like, on his tippy toes peeking in the window, it's like it makes it even more like he's even more excited to see what's going on because he knows what's going on because he knows it's Yoda and he knows who Luke is, right? So it's like it makes it even better.
And it just makes me think, too, that all during the training, everything that R2-D2 saw, R2-D2 was there, like, with Mustafar. You know, R2-D2 saw, that's, I talk about it all the time, if you watch Revenge of the Sith, when Obi-Wan Kenobi is coming up after, when Anakin is laying in the lava, like, with no arms and legs, R2-D2 is, like, tipped forward looking at Anakin. It's so sad. R2-D2 knows. And when they're on Dagobah and Yoda's training Luke, R2's just hanging out watching. He knows Anakin is in the Vader suit. R2 is just like, yeah, train. This is great. Yoda, this is it. R2-D2 is like the only one like watching that's like really down with what's going on. Anyways, so they're on Dagobah, right? And there's Qui-Gon's voice. Follow the balls of light.
Yoda, my old friend, you have come at last.
Qui-Gon Jinn, really you? It is?
It is.
Losing my mind, I am not?
No, my friend, no.
Why have you brought me here?
Follow the light. The light will be your guide.
So, I don't know about you, but the first time I saw this episode, and every time since that I've seen this episode, it's like having the Mandalorian bringing back the Yoda baby. The fact that these episodes are incredible on their own, they have Qui-Gon and the balls of light, just make me think of when we lived together and there was like, was that Late Night with Bob Costas or whatever we were watching? And Gary Busey was on after he was in a motorcycle accident and he had an acoustic guitar and he was singing a song about how he died and came back to life. And it was about like following the balls of light.
After the Conan O'Brien show was like later with Bob Costas at like 1 a.m. or something. And we were we'd be like, I'm not going to sleep. And we'd keep watching it. Yeah. And Gary Busey was on singing the balls. Light, come on. And Bob, they cut to Bob Costas like, wow, Gary, sounds like you had quite an experience. I think everyone should wear a motorcycle helmet. And remember the next day after the Gary Busey singing about the balls of light, it was pancake breakfast at our art school that we went to. And we were just like, man, we got to go get the pancakes. And we were talking to complete strangers about, like, did anyone else watch Gary Busey singing about the floating balls of light last night?
Really, you didn't see it? Because it was great.
It was on like 6 hours ago.
Yeah, and I every couple of months I look for that on YouTube and I still can't find it. Someday somebody's gonna post it on YouTube, please. Maybe somebody listening has it on a DVD in a drawer somewhere. But yeah, I'm glad you were there because at least we know it was real.
Like, I don't think Gary Busey's okay.
But yeah, so this episode just gets that much better because it has all this goodness and it has balls of light.
So Qui-Gon is part of the cosmic force and he's talking about midichlorians and it's all great.
Strong this planet is with the force.
It is one of the purest places in the galaxy.
How are you here?
I am a manifestation of the Force. A force that consists of two parts. Living beings generate the living force, which in turn powers the wellspring that is the cosmic force.
Show yourself. Can you?
I cannot. My training was incomplete. All energy from the living force, from all things that have ever lived, feeds into the cosmic force, binding everything. And communicating to us through the midichlorians. Because of this, I can speak to you now.
See the future. You can.
I exist where there is no future or past.
Know you who the Sith Lord is?
I can only show you a place where the answers will be revealed to you.
Yoda goes into this area, and there's stairs inside, like, this cave. It's like a dark side cave, like what Luke goes into on Dagobah. But there's, like, stairs. And I'm like, the stairs are, like, people made.
Yeah. It looks like a big, nothing but a jungle. But, yeah, there's a doorway and stairs.
So Yoda goes in here, what, and he basically sees Revenge of the Sith. He sees Sidious, hears his name.
He sees the 3D release that never came out. Because it's like, he's surrounded by it. This 3D is so real.
When Yoda comes out, this scene absolutely wrecked me.
Such darkness. Such evil. When will this happen?
It is happening right now. It has always been happening. With each day the Clone War wages, evil is growing in its power. What you felt in the cave is merely a portion of what the dark side now holds.
Such power. Any hope that the Jedi can prevail, is there?
There is always hope, my friend. Though it often comes in forms not looked for. The key is knowing how to see it and seizing that opportunity. I have been tasked with guiding you forward. There can be many outcomes, but your path is clear, Yoda. You have been chosen, as I was before you.
For what chosen am I?
You will learn to preserve your life force, and so manifest a consciousness which will allow you to commune with the living after death.
How?
Dark times are ahead, and forces of light must remain. This is the path of only a few Jedi. You will travel to one of the origins of all life in the galaxy.
This place is where?
The Force will be your guide. Goodbye, my friend.
So what, Yoda has been chosen, like Qui-Gon says he was chosen, to preserve his life after death. This blows my mind, too, because, yeah, like, Qui-Gon was chosen before the Phantom Menace to learn how to preserve his life after death. So, right, Qui-Gon, am I right in thinking this? Like, how do you feel about this? Did Qui-Gon do what Yoda's doing in this episode before Phantom Menace happened?
Man, I don't think I ever thought about that. But, yeah, I think you're right that this... He would have had to learn about this before Phantom Menace to be able to be where he was, to at least be halfway through this, right? Where at least his voice exists. So, yeah, so it's almost like he somehow discovered the wills, the Force priestesses before Phantom Menace.
I've told this story a million times, but when I met Matthew Stover, when he signed my Revenge of the Sith book, and he told me of his dream book, right? That Qui-Gon and the Sith both discover this ancient Jedi thing of how to preserve life after death. And both Qui-Gon and the Sith discover it and interpret it in different ways, where it's like the Sith want to live forever in a physical state, but the Jedi take on a more metaphysical, spiritual state. And I've thought about that, like, oh my God, that's such a cool idea. And Matthew Stover, when he was telling me, he was like looking me directly in the eye and he was like super passionate about it. And I'm like, you just blew my mind. But then in this episode, it's like, oh my God, Qui-Gon already knew. But Qui-Gon could never finish it. Yoda has to finish it. And then I think of, again, the Obi-Wan Kenobi show where Qui-Gon shows up to Obi-Wan and he's like, took you long enough. And he's all like mischievous like Yoda. And then you think of Qui-Gon in The Phantom Menace. Think of the way he kind of walks into the Jedi Council. This is my job. I know I have to do this. But, like, no offense, guys, but I know more than you. You know, Qui-Gon never second guesses that it's a Sith Lord or that Anakin Skywalker is the chosen one, because Qui-Gon is working on a different level.
Yeah, and if, you know, like they say in the, I think the next episode, that the priestesses, they watch everyone who uses the Force. So it's like, if they're watching all the Jedi, they're seeing that there's this one guy who's doing it right. So we need to pass on this knowledge to this one guy and kind of trust him to figure out who else should get this in, get this knowledge. Because it's kind of like once Qui-Gon's got it, like he's the one deciding who to share it with, the Jedi's that he trusts.
When the priestesses, the wills, whatever, could even see Qui-Gon and somehow know that he is directly connected to what they say the great imbalance and the one who will bring back balance. They see the chain of Qui-Gon to Anakin, Anakin to Luke.
Or I guess you could say too that they see that his death is going to be the moment that causes the imbalance. That if he didn't die, the Anakin would have turned out all right and the imbalance wouldn't be there maybe.
Or maybe not, because like they say, there are many possibilities. Who knows? Qui-Gon could have lived and Anakin still could have been tempted to the dark side, but then Qui-Gon could die eventually and he could learn how to preserve life after death or something. Then I even go crazy too, because I start thinking about like, well, then you have Luke, and then I think of Rey and how important Luke's teachings or Luke's presence was to Rey. And then I think of like the dyad and like Palpatine's clone coming back, and there had to be Rey. Would Luke be who he is without Yoda, without Obi-Wan, without what Qui-Gon started?
Yeah, so now Yoda has to go to this like Force origin of all life midichlorians planet, which if you watch the interviews with Filoni, he's like implying that maybe he really isn't going somewhere physically, but R2-D2 is with him, so maybe he really did go somewhere.
Was that
a production problem?
Was that real?
When George is like, I want to go to this planet that's the source of Force midichlorians, I'm like, really? That just to me as a director just reeks of like, how are we going to do that? You know, it's like
what does that look like?
What does that look like? You promise the audience like the understanding of the origin of mankind, and suddenly you have a better answer than all these theologians and everyone before you've ever come up with. What? And it kept eerily reminding me of Star Trek V. I'm like, oh no, why does God need a starship? I'm like, I don't want to go there. This is really dangerous territory to be around, and with all due respect. But I don't see this as like, this is this one place. You can't think black and white when you're dealing with the Force or balance. So I think that these places exist in the universe at different times, and they manifest, and then life emanates from them, and then you can go there, and they're just dead, empty spaces as well. So it's really hard to nail down where these people are, where these beings are, which dimension they're in. I think that Mortis is another type of this place.
And Yoda sees the Force priestesses, or as we like to believe, they are the wills, the journal of the wills, the teller of the stories. Because I still think it makes total sense, because they're wearing like Greek drama, Greek tragedy masks. They're like storytellers. And I'm like, these are the wills. Give me a break.
Yeah. You're not fooling anybody.
And just a side note too, always watching Clone Wars on Disney Plus is such a treat, because it looks so good in like what like the 4K or whatever the hell's going on Disney Plus. It looks incredible. And when Yoda's on this Force planet, it looks so good.
Yeah, and the animation on the priestesses is just really, really nice too. Like just the way they move and float around, and the effects of them like merging in and out of each other, and the beams of light coming out of them and all of this. It's kind of amazing to think that it aired 10 years ago, and they, you know, they animated and rendered all this even before that. Like, and it looks really, really good. Unlike earlier episodes or the Clone Wars movie, which it's charming, but not at all to the level of quality that these later seasons were.
So then the other Wills show up, the cousins, as they say, and they're all looking at Yoda and they're like, why is he here? And again, this part was when I was watching it on an iPad in March 2014. I like had to turn it off and be like, whoa, whoo.
Cousins, I have a guest. You should not have brought him before us.
Oh, nonsense. He is full of the Force. Can you not feel it? Why is he here? Why are you here?
Told I was to learn from you. That showed me you could. How to manifest my life after death.
Ah, it's impossible. He will fail the great gift. He will disappoint us. He will disappoint himself. Oh, no. No, I do not see that. No.
His destiny is already set. It is not for us to decide.
But why him?
He is to teach one that will save the universe from a great imbalance. For this, the great gift will be his.
Yeah, again, not the dark side, not like the ultimate evil, not Sheev Palpatine. An imbalance. And when I'm like, when they say that, I'm just like, oh man, they're talking about Luke. So then Yoda has to start like his training, and Yoda must know his true self, even the darkness, overcome his fear, like free himself. And I love too that Yoda's like, I'm a Jedi master. I have nothing to learn or conquer. Again, it's all about you've got to unlearn what you've learned. This, I don't think this is something that Yoda can like fully admit yet, that like he doesn't know everything, which if you think of Luke in The Empire Strikes Back, when Luke arrives on Dagobah, he's like, I'm ready to be a Jedi. Ben, tell him I'm ready, you know. Luke thinks he knows what's up. And you think of Anakin too.
Yeah, in Revenge of the Sith, he thinks he knows.
Even in Attack of the Clones, he's just like, I'm ready. I'm more powerful than Obi-Wan Kenobi. So Yoda has to go and face Dark Yoda, a shadow of his Yoda self. He learns the lesson that the dark side is part of all of us.
Yeah, and it's fun to see evil Yoda. Like, I never would have imagined we would get a Yoda versus evil Yoda vision, but it's pretty cool.
But yeah, you think of The Empire Strikes Back again, and Luke's in the cave where the Vader mask falls on the floor and it's trippy. It's like then there's a Luke Skywalker head inside the Vader mask. Like, what's going on?
My little child brain doesn't understand what's happening.
And the next trial that Yoda must do is temptation. And when he goes to the Jedi Temple post Order 66, and man, this is wild, because he goes in and he sees Ahsoka dying in there.
Master Yoda, please help me. I'm dying.
What has happened to your Padawan? Who has done this?
The Sith.
How?
You told me I would finish my training to become a Jedi, but the Council expelled me. Why would you do that? Will I still become one with the Force when I die? Master, will I be a Jedi?
Padawan. Padawan. Ahsoka! No. 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 Not strong enough I was. No. Failed I have. Failed them all.
Yoda thought Anakin needed an apprentice, and Yoda thought Ahsoka would be a good apprentice for Anakin, and it is because of Yoda that Ahsoka is in this situation.
In watching this moment now, post-Ahsoka show, like, gave me chills thinking about where we've seen Ahsoka's story go, and like seeing her like dying still as like a young Padawan at the end of the Clone Wars. It's just like, man.
Well, and it's also, I like that it's, you know, Filoni's getting deep on why Ahsoka's there, but it's also in 2014 to screw with us that, oh, is this how Ahsoka dies?
Right.
Because we think she's going to die because she's not in Revenge of the Sith and we haven't seen her. So
what this little Jedi student tempts him to take him somewhere where he'll never know sadness, no war, only peace and tranquility.
I love the voice of the Jedi kid because it's like the super like stereotype kid voice with the like clogged nose, you know, sound or whatever. Like, I'm a little kid. I can't do it, but you know what I'm talking about.
Close your eyes and I will guide you.
Qui-Gon is there and good Dooku is there and they're all laughing and having a good time and there's no war, there's no Sith, and Yoda has to reject it. Yoda has to be like, this is lies. This is the dark side.
This is the part, watching this, I remember the first time of like when I was really starting to freak out a little bit because I was like, man, I couldn't stop thinking about good Dooku. It's like, oh man, visions of good Dooku. What would the world have been like with good Dooku?
I love this too because Yoda has to accept that this happy reality isn't real. And reality has the darkness. Reality has the darkness of the Clone Wars. There's a secret Sith Lord out there somewhere. You have to recognize the darkness. You can't be tempted into believing that everything is okay. And it got me thinking of Luke in The Last Jedi. Like, that was what was going on with Luke through all of that, where Luke turned off his connection to the Force because he just didn't want it. It was too much.
You got to see things the way they really are, and you can't pretend that things aren't there.
Obi-Wan Kenobi, he was real close to killing Vader at the end of the Kenobi show. And maybe that would be easier for Obi-Wan Kenobi, but that, you know, that's not the Jedi way. And it's like, you have to just let it be and just accept that that's the way it is. And it's a blindness to what's going on with the dark side that could be starting in the Acolyte show. Because you think people are going to survive the Acolyte show and be like, hey, there's a Sith Lord. We saw a red lightsaber. We saw a Sith Lord. And someone probably is going to be like, nope, can't be.
That's not what that was. It's something else.
Anyways, the Wills are like, hey, Yoda, good job. And Yoda's like, show your face, and they're beings of pure light. They're just beings of the Force. And again, I think of Empire Strikes Back and luminous beings we are, not this crude matter.
What's so amazing with these three is like, it could have ended there, and it would have been like, this is great, but it's Clone Wars. They gotta keep going. And now Yoda has to actually go to Moriban, the ancient homeworld of the Sith, and what did they? They don't even tell him what to do, right? They're like, you just need to go there. You need to check this place out.
It's like one last test. And I'm watching it too, and I'm like, what? Moriban, the ancient homeworld of the Sith, and again, with the Mangold movie, you'd think, I mean, we talked a lot about like Ahsoka and Peridia and witches and all of that, but it's like, what about Moriban? Like, if this is like the homeworld of the Sith, how is that going to tie into everything? And Yoda goes to Moriban, and there's like statues, like big tall statues on there that kind of look like the statues on Peridia.
Well, and there's like spirit kind of ghost things there talking about the, what are they saying? There's no life after death. There's only this world.
There is no life after death. Only nothingness awaits you, Jedi. Your fear feeds on a hunger for power. They will know you are here. We will tell them. You will die and be nothing.
So Yoda has to go into a temple and he sees the big spirit of Darth Bane, voiced by Mark Hamill. And yeah, Darth Bane created the Rule of Two. And Yoda doesn't like fear him or believe in him, then he doesn't exist anymore. Which I'm just like, man, what is going on in this episode? So is that kind of Yoda talking about like fear itself? Anger, fear, aggression, the dark side are there. Are they like, if Yoda is just like, I am not afraid of the dark side at this point. I don't, what do you think that's saying?
I don't know. That just seems like that's the big kind of Lucas thing where it's like, it's the big quote in Phantom Menace of like, fear's the problem, right? Like if you're afraid, then that leads to all the bad stuff, right? So if you don't have fear, you don't have anger, you don't have hate, you don't have all that stuff. So Yoda needs to not be afraid, and he needs to not be afraid of the future. He needs to not be afraid of what's really happening. He just needs to be calm and accepting of whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Yeah, I think of Luke in Empire, how am I to know the good side from the bad when you're calm, at peace, passive? And you think of Anakin throughout all the prequels, constant fear of losing Padme. And where did that get him?
If you're afraid, you're going to make bad choices.
So he has to go to one final place, the Sith holy place, where ancient Sith would sacrifice Jedi. Okay. And here's where the Sith sense him through a ripple in time and space. So Palpatine and Dooku use Dooku's bond with Yoda to see what's going on. And it's an old art of the dark side, and they need Dooku's blood for the ritual. And Palpatine is doing witchy stuff over like a cauldron, like chanting a spell.
And Palpatine does have a dagger. Maybe it's not so weird to have a Sith dagger because Palpatine's got one right there. Well, and this is, like I said earlier, I really liked that they kind of took Mundi kind of being a grumpy know-it-all and kind of putting some truth to it, that, you know, Palpatine is trying to take advantage of Dooku and Yoda's bond and kind of do what Mundi thought could be happening, and us kind of, I guess at this point, well, maybe Qui-Gon wasn't really there because these guys are trying to do what Mundi said, but you know, ultimately it's Yoda. He can't mess with Yoda. He's got no fear. And under his robe, he has a shirt that says no fear on it. And he's got like no fear shorts underneath them too.
What they send themselves as a vision of through the dark side of Sifo Dyas to Yoda. And Sifo Dyas is like, I'll tell you who the Sith Lord is.
Sifo Dyas, alive you are.
Help me, please. Yoda, I have been imprisoned for so long.
Know who did this to you?
What if I could tell you who the Sith Lord is? Free me, and I will reveal it.
No!
He knows how to achieve what you seek.
Captivated by the physical realm, the Sith are.
What else is there? Free me, and together we can know who the Sith Lord is. Gain the power you deserve, and save the future.
No.
You must free me!
Nothing to show me, the Sith have.
We shall see.
Which is great, because this scene, it's the temptation, right? It's the temptation that was given to Luke by Darth Vader. It's the temptation that was given to Anakin Skywalker that Anakin fell for. Even Rey faces this temptation. And then Yoda finally gets a name, Sidious, which I'm sure we've talked about this before, but it still blows my mind. Where think of in Revenge of the Sith, when Yoda walks in to the little office, Palpatine's office, and he pushes him backwards in his chair and all that stuff. He walks in and he's like, or should I call you Darth Sidious? And it's always like, well, how did you, when you saw Revenge of the Sith, how does Yoda know his name? And I always thought it was just because Yoda's Yoda. But Yoda knows the name Darth Sidious because of the Yoda arc. So then they go on this like mission to Coruscant. All of a sudden Yoda's like, what's going on? We're on this mission to Coruscant, right? With Rex and Anakin to stop the Sith Lords, right?
Yeah. This part's great too, because you feel just like Yoda, where you're very confused as to what's going on. And man, the camera stuff, when they're in the dropship and it's like down on the ground, like at Yoda's eye view, and he's like looking up at Rex, and then he like turns his head and looks at Anakin, and the camera's like panning back and forth, and they're like close up on Yoda's face, and he just like, he's so confused. He's like, what, why, what's going on? Like that whole scene is really, really good.
A big clue on what's going on, to kind of give you a hint, is in this moment, in this battle, Anakin cuts off Dooku's head. Where you're just like, wait, that's not what happens.
But that's your first little hint of what's so cool about this scene, is it's like, it's a scene that's happening at a different place. I mean, at the end of Attack of the Clones place, where Dooku and Sidious hang out. But all the things that happen in Revenge of the Sith are happening in this vision, like layered into this, in this different location, and this different things happening. Because it's like Anakin cuts off Dooku's head, like he will in Revenge of the Sith. Yoda and Palpatine, you know, fighting with their lightsabers, and then Yoda hanging. They're both hanging like they're going to fall off of something, you know, which is like pretty much right out of the Senate duel. But in this case, they're just, you know, outside on the scaffolding. Even Anakin kind of being unconscious is almost like Obi-Wan being unconscious when Anakin, the Dooku thing's going on. It's like all these little visions of Revenge of the Sith kind of sprinkled into this scene is pretty cool.
And Palpatine shoots lightning, Sith lightning, at Anakin. He's hanging on to the thing, like you're saying. Yoda has to make the choice, where Palpatine says right to him, you can kill me and end all this right now, or you can let Anakin die and all the darkness that's going to come won't happen. Like, there'll be no Darth Vader. And I kept thinking, too, of Vader's choice in Return of the Jedi. I mean, Luke's not dead, but it's a similar thing. Like, I can end all this right now. People getting hit by lightning. Like, it's all about that, making that choice. Like, what do you do?
Well, it's the Revenge of the Sith Anakin choice and the Anakin Return of the Jedi choice. And Anakin chooses the wrong choice the first time, but chooses the right choice the second time. But here Yoda, yeah, makes the right choice the first time, because he's Yoda.
His episodes are so good. So then what, Yoda survives the tests and asks the Wills if his training is done after all of that. And I love the Wills are just like, nope, you're going to train with Qui-Gon Jinn, because Qui-Gon Jinn's the real master.
Yeah, it's like, this was just the job interview to see if you got the job, and the job is learning this stuff, and it takes a long time, which is why Qui-Gon was only like halfway done by Phantom Menace.
But then this blows my mind too, because the Will leaves. And when the Will leaves, the Will says, there is another Skywalker. And then you hear Vader breathing.
The one you know as Qui-Gon Jinn will commune with you and guide your training. Like us, you shall learn to maintain your consciousness after death. Enlightenment. Spirit. Balance. There is another Skywalker.
There is another Skywalker.
And Filoni talks about that again, where Filoni kind of put that in because they said like they needed a bigger ending for it all.
The big iffy one was the whole vision at the end that the Force Priestess gives him with the kind of future, and you hear sound design from the original Star Wars, and he sees all the conflict to come, and that I never told him about, but I needed something more powerful there. And so then he asked me, he's like, you haven't sent me a disc in a while. I'm like, no, I haven't.
But also it's like, what does that mean? Why, when the Will leaves, like, you're going to train with Qui-Gon Jinn, there is another Skywalker. You hear Vader breathing.
I just took it to be like Yoda's basically hearing glimpses of the future, and that now he's on the path he needs to be on to bring about the future that they want. And the future they want, those are, you know, highlights from the future. And that there is another Skywalker after Anakin, because Yoda doesn't know about the kids yet. You know, those are the pieces that the Will's priestess's plan of bringing back, of fixing the imbalance, is this other Skywalker who ultimately gets Vader to do what he needs to do to make this all better.
I kept thinking, too, that, I mean, we still have Clone Wars Season 7 after this, but Season 7 is, what, days before Revenge of the Sith? Because the Revenge of the Sith happens while we're in Season 7. So technically, at this moment, Luke and Leia exist. They're not born yet, but Luke and Leia are out there. The Wills would know that Padme is pregnant. Maybe this is at that moment before, you know, they're like, you're going to train with Qui-Gon, connecting to the Force. And it, like they already said, he will train one who will bring balance to the Force, but they don't say a Skywalker. Maybe at this moment before they leave, they're like achieving another level. And just like how Yoda found out the name Sidious, like before the Will vanishes, she's like, Skywalker. There's another Skywalker. I can sense it. I don't know. These episodes are so good. And then it ends with Mace Windu and Obi-Wan Kenobi asking Yoda if his journey gave him any insight in how to win the war. And Yoda's just like, dude, we already lost, man. The war, it's not about the war.
Did your journey give you insight on how to win the war?
No longer certain that one ever does win a war. I am. For in fighting the battles, the bloodshed, already lost we have. Yet, open to us, a path remains. That unknown for the Sith is. Through this path, victory we may yet find. Not victory in the Clone Wars, but victory for all time.
He's talking about Return of the Jedi. The Wills showed it to him. He's like, man, this movie's hot.
But again, when I watched this March 2014, I literally almost died. Watching it now in 2024, I still get the chills. Like, I still get that same feeling that I had when I watched it in 2014, where I was just like, good Lord, this isn't just the Clone Wars. Like, these episodes are talking about all of Star Wars.
Well, and that's the, you know, part of the fun of Clone Wars is like, it was like a mix of goofy fun stuff and super, super deep stuff, but it was like super, super deep stuff right out of the brain of Wild Man George Lucas. So it's like, and getting things in ways that you couldn't get in a movie, because the stuff is in the movies and it's just a scene here and there. But here they're like, we're going to take the deep force stuff and we're going to make 3 full episodes out of it, just focusing on this, you know, ideas on how the Force works that George Lucas had and was talking to Dave Filoni about. Yeah, and it's just the best.
If it's been a while since you've watched them, watch them again. It's going to enhance your viewing of The Phantom Menace. It's going to enhance The Acolyte. Like I said, it's probably going to echo throughout the Mangold movie, Ahsoka Season 2. Who knows? I don't know. Skeleton Crew? Maybe. Andor Season 2? I don't know. But these episodes are the best. The Clone Wars is incredible. The Clone Wars, what started with the movie and Stinky, and we're not sure what's going on with the movie, ended with this. Or at least we thought it did.
Well, and that was the thing, too, is like, for thinking the show was canceled and that we were getting a few more episodes, if this would have been the end of Clone Wars, this was a hell of a way to end it. Like, it kind of went out on a high point with these 3 episodes, and, you know, the fact that they did another season and they still ended it on a really high note was impressive. But, like, you know, this wasn't like, it didn't feel like they just stopped making the show. I don't know if they planned it or they just got lucky that they had these episodes to end it on. But yeah, this one, you know, you can feel like you just watched all of Clone Wars and you're ending in a good spot with the deepest of the deep stuff and speaking the truth that it's all about Qui-Gon.
The Empire, still a powerful force for good in the galaxy, were the Jedi. The clone army stood with us. Against us, Grievous and his droids. Yet merely pawns they were, tools of Count Dooku and his Dark Master. Stories from those days, these are, of battles fought, friendships forged, and Jedi at the peak of our powers.
Star Wars The Clone Wars, a new adventure Fridays at 9 p.m., only on Cartoon Network.
Yoda puppet and the Force lightsaber, each sold separately.
As you move your lightsaber, the sound of the Force moves with you. It can be a powerful friend. That is your first lesson. Learn it well.
The Force is in my lightsaber.
The Force is in all things, even you, my young Jedi.
The Force lightsaber and new Yoda puppet, each sold separately. From Kenner Star Wars, the Empire Strikes Back collection.
And these blast points, too accurate for sand people. Only Imperial stormtroopers are so precise.
All right, everybody, guess what? Apple Podcast Review. So when you get done listening to this, go over there, leave us a 5-star review, write something nice. Maybe did you like this episode more than the Yoda arc? Let us know. Was this episode as good as Bringing Up Norky? Let us know that. If you listen on Spotify, leave a 5-star review over there too, so more people can find the show.
And check out our website, blastpointspodcast.com, and make sure you are following us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you're on Facebook, make sure you're in our Super Chill group.
If you want to support the show in a different way, you get the Blast Points Army on Patreon, where just last weekend we had our episode for Into the Breach, another great episode of The Bad Batch. And then we'll have another episode for the almost final episode of The Bad Batch. And then, so here's the deal too, folks. No new episode of the regular show next week, Tuesday, because we will have a special episode coming out for the series finale of The Bad Batch. And then over the weekend, we'll have something special for May the 4th.
It's a double special May the 4th. It's May the 4th, and it's a special Blast Points Day as well.
Think number 4. And add 2 zeros to it.
Yeah. If you can count, you might be able to figure it out.
Because Phantom Menace is in theaters that Friday. Saturday is May the 4th, 400. I don't know. So busy weeks ahead. We're going to have more Phantom Menace stuff coming in the month of May. Lots of exciting things going on. But that wraps up 398. Talking about the Yoda arc. This is like the Blast Points arc. There's like us when we started this episode, and now us at the end.
And at some point in the middle, one of us turned evil. We had to fight each other.
So, all right, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening. Tune in next week for 2 episodes, Bad Batch series finale, and then something special on the 4th. So, thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
May the Force be with you.
Goodbye, old friend. May the Force be with you.
My own BO. That was my own evil.
That was the clouds coming out of you. Okay, so you were the bad one.
I had to recognize that the BO was part of me. Face it down.
You can't fear it. You can't fear the stink. Just gotta let it go.
May the Force be with you. Ah!